Radio Prague News.
Pope Benedict XVI has arrived in Prague for a three-day visit to the Czech Republic. Special security and traffic measures have taken effect in Prague and Brno to deal with the tens of thousands of onlookers. And MP Ladislav Šuster has resigned from Parliament amid the fallout from an investigative report on lobbying published by the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. Pope Benedict XVI arrived in Prague Saturday morning for a three-day visit to the Czech Republic. Addressing his first audience in English after a few words in Czech, the pontiff called upon Czechs to rediscover the Christian traditions that helped shape their culture and to let their voices be heard. Pope Benedict also recalled the bravery of the Czech saints and Cardinals Josef Beran and František Tomášek, archbishops of Prague who steadfastly opposed the communist regime. On the first day of his trip, the pontiff gave a gift of a golden crown to the infant Jesus of Prague, a wax statue that has been revered by Catholics since the 17th century, before meeting with President Václav Klaus and other politicians at Prague Castle. Compared to surrounding states, the Catholic Church has a weaker position in the Czech Republic, where adherents amount to less than 20% of the population, or roughly 2,800,000 people. The Church has made no secret of the fact that this weekend's papal visit is intended to increase the faith in a land of atheists and potentially pave the way to a treaty between the Czech Republic and the Vatican. The Pope will celebrate two open-air masses in Brno and in Stará Boleslav over the coming days, and major security and traffic measures have been taken to deal with the 100,000 people expected to attend the events. Traffic restrictions will be in place throughout Saturday around the Prague Castle district, and a part of the country's main east-west motorway, the D1, will be closed near Brno from Saturday evening through Sunday. 450 soldiers and 300 elite police officers are charged with securing the stops on the Pope's schedule, and 1,000 police officers will be on patrol for the first mass at the airport in Brno. The papal visit is the first since the last of John Paul II's three visits to the country 12 years ago. Pope Benedict did, however, visit the Czech Republic as a cardinal in 1992 when he lectured at the Church of St. Wojciech in Prague. In other news, an investigative report published in the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes has caused shakeups in two Czech political parties. One leading candidate for the new center-right party, Top 09, resigned his seat in Parliament on Saturday, and two Communist Party vice chairmen have been asked to resign after the paper revealed they had promised a reporter who was posing as a casino owner to attempt to modify an upcoming amendment to the Lotteries Act in exchange for party donations of 1 million crowns. The party members also agreed to conceal the identity of the donor, which would be a violation of the law. The Top 09 member in question, MP Ladislav Šuster, who is also on the supervisory board of the lottery operator Sazka, said his actions were of his own accord and were not coordinated with the party. According to Mladá Fronta, the Green Party was the only party to refuse the proposal outright. Turning briefly to the weather, conditions in the Czech Republic over the weekend are expected to be mostly clear with highs of 17 to 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the fashion sins that Czechs commit, and a famous chocolate chef visits Prague. Those and other stories in magazine coming up in just a moment. We will offer you another Czech lesson with Jan Richter, and you'll have another chance to hear our in-depth interview of the week with US translator Norma Komrada, who has translated some of Karel Čapek's works into English. All that coming your way, and we start off with magazine. Do you also get the impression that tourists in Prague appear to be just a tiny bit more lost than they do in other European cities? Well, the reason is undoubtedly the Czech language tourist signs in the streets of Prague. 20 years after the Velvet Revolution, tourists are still trying to figure out that Pražský hrad is Prague Castle, the Jewish cemetery is Židovský hřbitov, and Prašná brána is actually Powder Tower. Not that Czechs are nationalists or anything like that. The reason behind this absurd situation is a silly legal hurdle that has prevented City Hall from putting up bilingual signs. The problem is that the signs with place names have the status of road signs, and the law says that all road signs must be in Czech. Having them put up in English would require a change of the law, and anything that requires a change of law is a lengthy process in the Czech Republic. City Hall says it is lobbying hard, but it may well be that tourists will speak Czech before the Czech capital offers them signs in English. Just a year after it opened, the Chocolate Museum in Prague and the Viva Praha specialty chocolate store had their first VIP visitor, the Belgian chocolate chef Dominic Persone. Mr. Persone, who makes chocolate specialties for the world's leading restaurants and is an exclusive supplier for Viva Praha, visited Prague last week to present the latest specialty in his chocolate line, a Belgian chocolate praline filled with a famous Czech Becherovka liqueur. At a press conference where he presented the Becher praline, Mr. Persone said it had been well received both in Brussels and Prague, only there was a slight difference in the composition. While for the Belgian market he used what he described as a standard amount of alcohol, the ones destined for the Czech Republic contain more to suit Czech tastes. Dominic Persone, whose chocolate cookbook Cacao, The Roots of Chocolate, won a prestigious international award, combines chocolate with the most unexpected ingredients, red peppers, olives, onions, chicken, and even oysters. Maybe in due time he'll teach Czechs to put it on their roast pork, sauerkraut, and dumplings. And just to prove that we're not as conservative as you may think, here's a glimpse at some novelties on the Czech beer market. There's cannabis beer, lemongrass beer, banana beer, fig beer, and even a pumpkin-laced brew. And for those who really want to drink to their health, there is now a line of so-called medicinal brews, which contain herbs used to cure various ailments before the arrival of classical medicine. Well, it all sounds really impressive, but is it still beer? Fashion boutiques are abound in the city centre, but fashion gurus still feel Czechs have a long way to go when it comes to developing a sense of style. The general feeling is that after the off-the-rack, identical drab wear of the communist days, people are afraid to experiment, afraid to stand out in the crowd by wearing bright colours or something provocative. The internet daily Idnes has made a list of the worst fashion offences on Czech streets. And top of the list are wearing socks and sandals, wearing black shoes with just about everything, and carrying plastic bags. So what, many Czechs would counter, which, according to the Daily, is another big fashion sin, the fact that many Czechs don't seem to care what people think about the way they dress. Czechs need to keep in mind that clothes make the man and dress in a way that reflects who they are, the Daily notes. An artist from the town of Letovice has hand-carved a personal gift for Pope Benedict XVI, who is visiting the Czech Republic this weekend, a wooden sculpture of St. Peter and St. Paul. The artist carried the sculpture on his back in a two-day pilgrimage to Brno. Buying something in a shop just didn't seem right, Ivo Krajcek told reporters. For it to make any sense, I knew I had to make something with my own two hands, something of spiritual significance, and to actually take it there myself. The artist says that in many ways, Saints Peter and Paul have accompanied him through life. His father was named Paul, and he named his own son Peter. 6 years ago, he was asked to create a wooden sculpture of the two saints for a chapel in Valchov. He made it and carried it there on foot on a bright summer day with not a cloud in the sky. When he brought them into the chapel, there was a peal of thunder and a few minutes of heavy rain. The artist is convinced it was no coincidence. It was a sign from St. Peter that he was moving into his new home in the chapel, Krajcek says of the incident. This time round, he was accompanied on his journey by three TV crews, a radio reporter, and people from the press. No sign of bad weather, but maybe the downpour will come when the Pope arrives back home at the Vatican and St. Peter makes himself at home. I hope you found something to your liking there, and I'll have more stories for you same time next week. But now it's time to brush up your Czech with Jan Richter.
Welcome to a fresh edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's signature miniseries in which you can learn something about the Czech language while listening to music. In this edition, we'll be talking about flies. The song is called Mouchy, or Flies, and it appeared on the 1995 album Ukončete mě, or Terminate Me, by the Prague-based band Tata Boys. The phrase to listen for is Mouchy, sněste si mě. The Czech expression Mouchy, sněste si mě translates as Eat me, flies. This peculiar imperative to the insects is in Czech used to describe someone whose attitude suggests they wouldn't mind being eaten alive by flies. In other words, people say that about somebody gormless and passive. A commonly used phrase is On je takový mouchy sněste si mě, or he's like eat me flies. I don't think the actual lazy person would say that themselves. Have another listen. The lyrics of the song go Každej má i já mám svý mouchy. Advanced learners of Czech will know that it translates as Everybody has and I have my own flies. But what Tata Boys are trying to say is not that we all have our swarms of flies to eat us. The phrase something has flies, něco má mouchy, means that it has flaws. When something has flies, you have to catch them. In Czech we say vychytat mouchy. The word moucha, or fly, also appears in some other Czech sayings. The English phrase to kill two birds with one stone has a Czech parallel of zabít dvě mouchy jednou ranou, or kill two flies with one blow. And that's that for this edition of Sound Czech. Whatever you are, don't let any flies eat you.
Jan Richter with that edition of Soundcheck, and you can go over it once again slowly at radio.cz. We will find all our programmes in text and sound. Now, Jan Richter stays with us for this week's edition of One on One, in which he interviewed Norma Comrada.
Karel Čapek is one of the few Czech writers whose work has transcended borders. Although he died prematurely, aged 48, during the dire year of 1938, in the course of his short lifetime he wrote over 20 prosaic works, as well as several plays and travel books. Many of these have been translated into English, and our guest in this edition of One on One is Norma Comrada, an American who translated several of Čapek's collections of short stories and his 1938 play The Mother. I met Ms. Comrada at a most appropriate venue, Karel Čapek's study on the top floor of his former villa in the Prague area of Vinohrady. This was my first visit to his retreat, but has Ms. Comrada ever been here before?
Yes, several times, but not since the death of Olga Scheinpflugova's brother, Karel Scheinpflug, who lived here at the time with his wife. It was during the 1970s when I did most of my visiting here, and the early 80s. And the last time was just after the Velvet Revolution, and only Pani Reitmanova, Scheinpflug's widow, was here at the time.
Do you personally have any Czech connection, or how did you get around to translating Karel Čapek and studying Czech?
I've always liked languages. In high school in America, in Los Angeles, where I grew up, I was a Latin major in high school, and I thought the other languages were wonderful. And I did a little bit of French in college. And then along comes marriage, work, children, and no money. And so there was no chance to continue my education after a bachelor's degree. However, the university in the town where I've lived now for, 50 years, University of Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon, then there was a night school. And I did have the money for night school. I didn't know any Slavic languages, and here they were offering a class in first-year Czech. So every Wednesday night for that entire year, I went down the street to the university and took the Czech class.
Who was the teacher? There must have been some kind of personality who left Czechoslovakia.
Of course, and his name was Leopold Pospisil from Olomouc. He was a lawyer and owned a chocolate factory. And when he came to the United States, he had his degrees were worth nothing, of course. But he did teach that class in Czech. By the end of the year, there were only five of us left. And one evening he said, for my homework, I was to translate the first chapter of this book. And it was Čapek's Letters from England, Anglické listy. And, of course, I was totally incompetent at it. But I loved the process of translation. And because Pospisil and his wife lived nearby, then sometimes I would translate something just for the fun of it after class was over and done with, and take it over, and his wife would make marvelous coffee, and we would argue. And they would always be short things because I was working at raising a family and all. And so journalism. And once he gave me the book Nabžehudnu, which hasn't been translated into English yet, but I've translated practically all of the work that is not specifically narrowly Czech, so that an English-speaking audience would enjoy and understand. And then I did Matka, mostly short things, the Povitki, the pocket tales, and the play The Mother, and both Karel and Josef collaborated on an early play, The Fateful Game of Love, and I've translated that too.
The pocket tales, they're probably today the most popular book by Karel Čapek. Some other works that are also highly regarded even today include the three novels, Hordubal, Povětroň, and Obyčejný život. Have you translated these, or have you been tempted to translate them?
Yes, I've been tempted, but I have many other things happening in my life, and I'm very, very slow at translation, very slow. And when I'm over here visiting in the Czech Republic, I prefer to sit and listen instead of trying to think, oh dear, what declension is this in, and is it male or female or neuter, and so on. So I listen to how people use the language, and it just goes slowly for me. So whatever if I were to do the trilogy, it would take a long time. My publisher brought out the trilogy in the early English language translation from the 30s, and it's okay. It just seems to me it's dated now. Some of the earlier translations, I thought that, well, The Gardener's Year is always being reproduced, reissued in America and probably England too. And I thought the old translation of that was fine. I wouldn't do it. What I really, really, really want to do and needs doing by someone who knows English as a first language is Dashenka, yes. And then I would like to do another play. I was doing this as a hobby. Sometimes a long time would go by and I wouldn't do anything. And then I began work at the university down the street, and there came into contact with people in Slavic studies and was encouraged to give a paper about Čapek at a Slavics conference. So I did. And you know that since he wrote about anything, it doesn't really matter what the panel discussion is, what the topic is. Čapek wrote about it, okay? And so I did a number of papers, and then I did a number of papers at conferences and then articles. And then for Slavics conferences, I organized a Čapek panel. And then at the next level, other level, the International Slavics Conference, that was in 1990. And then I thought, okay, now everybody should know. Everybody in the field, the Slavics field. And I don't have to do this anymore. But I do sometimes. I do when somebody writes something that is incorrect. Most people, I think, assume that Karel Čapek gave us the word robot. Well, he didn't. Josef, his brother, is the one who suggested that word. I've translated that particular newspaper article. When Karel Čapek set out to correct the record, he did it in an article for Lidové noviny in mid-30s, and he said, time has come to tell the real. I did not invent this word. My brother did.
Where do you look to find what he meant when he was referring to all the details and the everyday reality of the early 20th century? You know, where do you look for reference?
Well, you have to remember, I'm from an earlier part of the 20th century, too. I was born in the early 1930s. And so I have a bit of a feel for that. And I love reading history. I love to read about the First Republic. And since I've begun doing Čapek seriously and giving lectures and talks, then I have to know. And this is what I mostly study, is the interwar First Republic of Czechoslovakia, but then previous history too, because Čapek was so knowledgeable about that. And the language of the times and the changes in the language and the strong feelings that Czech people have about different times and places and people in history. I have to have a sense of that. I don't claim to be an expert, but I better know what I'm talking about when I'm talking.
As you said, Karel Čapek is unjustly credited with coining the word robot. But besides that, is he known? Is he a known author in the United States today?
What can I say? Yes, by some people. When I was in college in the 1950s, Čapek's Rossum's Universal Robots, RUR, was in the text for European theater. And everybody in my class read it, and probably a lot of other people too, in college and university or high school. That happens less now.
Norma Comrade, our guest of the week, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today, but do join us again tomorrow for our Sunday show, in which you can hear about the Pope's visit to the Czech Republic. We'll have a fresh edition of Mailbox, and David Vaughan will tell you about a bestseller on the Czech market. That's tomorrow on Radio Prague. You will find all our programs at radio.cz. And our email is english@radio.cz. So please don't hesitate to contact us. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.